Good evening. Welcome to Romford Baptist Church online this evening as we gather again to worship God and to celebrate his goodness. My name is Ian. I'm one of the ministers of the church, and later in this service, Vicky will be bringing God's word to us. The psalmist says these words, "Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise him." Our first song that we're going to use tonight is that song, "Come, Now is the Time to Worship." Now is the time to worship, and we continue with the theme of worship when we have the next song, which talks about light of the world. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down. And maybe as we come to sing this song, we bow our whole lives before God in an act of worship to the sovereign God. Light of the world, you step down into the world. Let us pray together. And Lord, we just praise you. We want to worship you tonight, Lord. Lord, there's so much that we want to complain about in the world. But Lord, tonight we want to have that thankful, joyful heart that gives you worship and adoration. Adoration for all that you have done for us, your faithfulness throughout all generations, your love that reaches down to us. Lord, we worship you today because right from the beginning of this day to right now, you have been with us. You have been beside us. You have been surrounding us. You have been breathing your life and hope into our lives. And Lord, we pray now that in our worship tonight, we will recognize you as our Lord and our Savior. We will give to you our hearts and our lives. And Lord, we will let you have your way within us. We pray this, Lord, in the name of our Lord and Savior, who taught us to say when we pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever and ever. Amen." We sing again about Jesus being the hope for the nation.
Welcome to the first episode of the Character Course. Over the last few years, I've been studying positive qualities of character, like hope, gratitude, love, wisdom. And over the next 8 weeks, I'd like to share with you some practical insights from the Bible and from psychology about how we might develop these things. Starting next week, we'll look at hope, love, forgiveness, gratitude, persistence, curiosity, and humour.
Hopefully you receive your email with all the notices and information about the church life on. And as the government restrictions change constantly, we're having to just keep an eye on those to know what we can and can't do. So please do keep watching your emails for up-to-date information. Today marks day two of our week of prayer and fasting. And we encourage you to join us. And each day this week, there will be an email coming out which would outline the theme for the day to remind you that you can pray with the church and to focus on what God is saying to the church Each email will have a link for a response. And in that response, you can click on it and just share with the wider church what you believe God is saying to the church at this time. Please do engage with us and be with us in that. And share what you believe God is saying. Thank you also for all those who give the offering. And if you're watching this online, there's a link on the page where this screen is for you to be able to give directly to the work of the church at this time. And we thank you for those who have given faithfully. And we just encourage you to prayerfully consider that giving. The church at the moment is seeing quite a drop off on our non-gift aid giving, and that is causing us a few concerns. If you are able to give, please do so. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you that you have given us so much. And Lord, we pray that as we give you our gifts, as we give you our worship, as we give you our very best at this time, that Lord, you will use them, these gifts, and bless them and use them for reaching people with the good news of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we bring you our gifts in the name of Jesus and for your glory. Amen. And we continue in prayers as we pray our prayers of intercession. And as we pray for our prayers of intercession, Lord, you are a holy God, a sovereign God. And Father, to you we come to plead, to pray for the needs of our world, the needs of our nation, the needs of the church. Lord, we pray for the many in the church who particularly need a touch from you this evening. And Lord, we pray for those who are on our notice sheet. We pray for those who are unwell, those who are mourning. Lord, we pray for those known only to you who are struggling with the effects of the lockdown and not being able to see friends and family. Lord God, minister, we pray. Lord, as our young people and teachers have recently returned to school and colleges, we pray for them. And we pray your hand upon the schools and colleges that, Lord, as they learn together, they will be kept safe and they will grow in confidence and knowledge. And Lord, at this time when students are leaving homes to go to university, we pray, Lord, your hand upon each one of them. We pray, Lord, that you will be with those who are going and those who remain at home and will be studying online. We pray, Lord, for their safety, and we pray, Lord, that they each will find a Christian community which they can belong to. But Lord, we also pray for those who are letting their loved ones go, their children go, and the parents who are finding it so difficult. Lord, we pray your hand upon them and that you will surround them with your love and your strength and your peace. And Lord, at this time, we place these students into your hands and we pray, Lord, that you will keep them safe for your glory. We pray for our nation, Lord, at a time when we are seeing further restrictions. We pray for families who are struggling because they can't see one another. And Lord, we pray your hand upon them. We do pray for our government and for our council and all who are seeking to keep us safe and make sensible decisions at the right time. Be with them all, Lord, we pray. And may they govern with justice and wisdom, and fairness and honesty. And Lord, as we pray for our nation, we pray for the ongoing Brexit negotiations. And Lord, we pray for your hand upon them. That as a nation, Lord, we will not be put in a difficult position. Lord, as we pray for our nation, we pray for the world. And we continue to pray for the troubled lands of this world. We pray again for Beirut, who are still trying to recover from that huge explosion that took so many lives. And Lord, we pray for the many other nations of this world that are seeing famine, war and troubles. We pray for peace. Lord, we pray for the governments of this world, and at this time, as America are heading towards their election, we pray your hand upon that nation and upon that election process. And Lord, we pray that truth will come out and that your will be done. And Lord, as we pray our prayers of intercession for the world, our nation, our borough, our church, we also pray for ourselves. And Lord, as we acknowledge your presence and your hand upon our lives over so many years, Lord, we want to say again, take our lives and let them be consecrated, Lord, to thee. That even at this difficult time, we can be salt and light to this nation. We bring our prayers in the name of our Lord and Saviour. Amen. Our next song is that song, Your Grace Will Never Be Forgot, for all that you have done for us, for every...
Good evening. Our two readings this evening are firstly from Malachi chapter 1, before continuing with a few verses from Revelation chapter 3. Malachi 1. The word of the Lord to Israel through Malachi. I have loved you, says the Lord. But you ask, how have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, declares the Lord. Yet I have loved Jacob. But Esau I have hated, and I have turned his hill country into a wasteland, and left his inheritance to the desert jackals. Edom may say, though we have been crushed, we will rebuild the ruins. But this is what the Lord Almighty says. They may build, but I will demolish. They will be called the wicked land, a people always under the wrath of the Lord. You'll see it with your own eye and say, great is the Lord, even beyond the borders of Israel. A son honors his father and a slave his master. If I am a father, where is the honor due to me? If I am a master, where is the respect due me? Says the Lord Almighty. It is you priests who show contempt for my name. But you ask, how have we shown contempt for your name? By offering defiled food on my altar. But you ask, how have we defiled you? By saying that the Lord's table is contemptible. When you offer blind animals for sacrifice, is that not wrong? When you sacrifice lame or diseased animals, is that not wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you? Says the Lord Almighty. Now plead with God to be gracious to us. With such offerings from your hands, will he accept you, says the Lord Almighty. Oh, that one of you would shut the temple doors so that you would not light useless fires on my altar. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord Almighty, and I will accept no offering from your hands. My name will be great among the nations from where the sun rises to where it sets. In every place, incense and pure offerings will be brought to me, because my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord Almighty. But you profane it by saying the Lord's table is defiled, and its food is contemptible. And you say, what a burden, and you sniff at it contemptuously, says the Lord Almighty. When you bring injured, lame, or diseased animals and offer them as sacrifices, should I accept them from your hands, says the Lord? Cursed is the cheat who has an acceptable male in his flock and vows to give it, but then sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. For I am a great king, says the Lord Almighty, and my name is to be feared among the nations. Our second reading is from Revelation chapter 3, the first 6 verses. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the word of him who holds the 7 spirits of God and the 7 stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up. Strengthen what remains is about to die. For I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Hold it fast and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me, dressed in white, for they are worthy. The one who is victorious will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out the name of that person from the book of life, but will acknowledge that name before my Father and his angels. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the church. Amen. I'm sure all of us have heard voices raised in opposition when churches in towns or in villages are being forced to close because there's a lack of numbers who are going, or perhaps the church is unable to keep up the maintenance of the building that's required, or the church or the denomination is unable to find a minister or a leader to keep the church going. People will often make comments such as, but it's such a pretty setting for a wedding. Or maybe, well, my family have been buried in that church graveyard for generations. What are we going to do now? Or another example, where will my family go when we want to get together and hold a family party or a social? And sadly, often, it's those same voices that are raised in opposition who are protesting and speaking out to the media about the unfairness of what has been decided by the church, who actually only attend the church very occasionally. Or maybe they go for specific activities, such as an annual Christmas carol service, or for a christening, or because they have a family connection historically with it. To many of them, the church is simply a building. It represents the history and the heritage of the village. It's part of the village or the town life, which on programs such as Escape to the Country are identified as the church is a Saxon church or a building of note. It's known as a building rather than a place where a group of believers meet and where faith is alive and where lives are being transformed. As we begin this new sermon series, looking at the book of Malachi, we'll see that there is that sense that outwardly, everything in the church and everything for the people of Israel and in the temple and all that's going on seem to be okay from the outward appearance. But inwardly, in the lives of those Jews and the people of Israel who were going each week and each day to the temple, they were just going through the motions. There was little going on in their hearts or in their lives. Hence our title for this evening. Are we just going through the motions? So firstly, does God have our hearts or just our lips? We will all know that lovely old hymn, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise." We sing that fairly regularly. But I wonder, do we really give to God all of ourselves? I mean, yes, we know that we should, but so often we end up compartmentalizing our lives, a bit like the words of the song where we offer God our hands or our feet or our voices. We offer God how we spend our money or the choices that we make, but actually so much of the time we're only offering him the things that we want. We're not wholly offering ourselves to God. Not wholly offering all that we have, just partially, when it suits us, when we think that maybe others will notice, or perhaps when we want something in return. The Jews living in Jerusalem at this time were going through the motions of worship when Malachi arrived on the scene. Malachi, the man shrouded in mystery, little is known about him except his name, which means my messenger. But as we look at the book of Malachi, we realize that actually he could be described as a vigorous, clear-cut personality who strongly opposed anyone who entered and treated the temple and the things of God with indifference. To him, carelessness in worship offended him, and if it offended him, he knew full well it was offending God. Malachi was there as God's prophet, wanting to restore the pure and genuine worship of God, based on a relationship with him. Malachi was a fearless reformer who spoke without hesitation or embarrassment. And Malachi here is addressing the Jews who'd returned to their land after living in exile for those 70 years. And they'd rebuilt the temple. They'd reestablished the worship of God. In a sense, they'd offered to God their lips, but not their hearts. Externally, you would think as you looked at the practices going on in the temple that everything was okay. But inwardly, there was a cancer of complacency, eating away at their commitment. Malachi, God's final spokesman for the 400-year period until John the Baptist came on the scene. Malachi, arriving at this last moment as God's prophet to challenge God's people. And as I read that first chapter of Malachi, I was reminded of the church in Sardis that we heard about in that second reading. Sardis, that place, that church where people were known well, and yet perhaps they weren't aware that there was a problem. But verse 1 in that reading said, Christ was aware of its deeds. It had a reputation of being alive, a bit like the temple for the Jews. But it was in fact dead. And in verse 2, that Revelation passage goes on to tell the church to wake up. Not just give lips, but to give wholehearted worship to God. So secondly, do we need to wake up this evening? Let me introduce you to Nate. Nate cautiously approached his pastor one day and admitted, I'm not sure what the problem is, but I feel empty inside. His confession concerned his pastor considerably because Nate was one of the most faithful lay people in the congregation. Whenever the pastor called a meeting or something was needing to be done around the building, Nate and his wife Nancy always showed up. And so his pastor said to him, tell me about it. And Nate replied, well, I just feel like I'm going through the motions, doing church work, helping people, even attending worship doesn't energize me anymore, he said. I'm tired of doing stuff. I'm living a lifeless religion. In this example, and perhaps some of us can identify with what Nate said there in that example, Nate knew that something was wrong. But the important thing was, he did something about it. Nate knew that he was just paying lip service to God. He'd lost that first passion. His faith had become automatic. It didn't bring him joy anymore. It was just about a list of things that had to be done and commitments he had to make. And a bit like we saw at the start of Malachi, he'd lost sight of just how much God loved him. And the difference between Nate and the church in Sardis, or that church that we can read about, or the temple and the Jewish people we can read about in Malachi, was that Nate wanted to do something about it. He wanted to change. He didn't want to give God the leftovers. He wanted to give God this whole life. He didn't want to just go through the motions. I know I've said it more than once over the summer period, but for me, when we did that prayer course on a Wednesday evening, I was so inspired. I found the prayer course so helpful. I've said this, I know, because it refreshed me. It challenged me. It inspired me in my walk with God. It reminded me of just how great God was and what our prayer lives can be like. Because sometimes we can end up going through the motions. Yes, including me. Another example. Many years ago, my wife and I were called to pastor a small church. And just before we arrived, church members brought gifts to help us and welcome us to the area. So when we arrived at the parsonage for our first night in our new home, we opened the cupboards and discovered that our shelves were filled with canned goods. The refrigerator was stocked to overflowing, and there were several craft items lying around on the kitchen counter to help us decorate our new home. We were really thankful and appreciative. As we began to place the craft items around the home, we noticed that a few of them had pieces missing. Others were broken. When we looked at the items in the refrigerator, they'd already passed their best before date. And then we looked in the cupboards at the canned goods. Some were so old that the rust was on the cans. While many of the church members had donated items that were of good quality, others had given items that were destined for the garage sale or for rubbish. They'd given us their leftovers. And we felt two simultaneous emotions. One of great joy for the generosity of many of the people, but also the emotion of great sadness for receiving unwanted discards. Now, I'd like to say this is not something that has happened to us. It's an illustration that has been told by Pastor Rick Ezell. But I wonder, is that how God sometimes feels about what we offer to him? About what we offer to others, even by how we live our Christian walk. Have we ever been guilty, perhaps, of giving something to the church or even to the food bank that we actually don't want anymore? Perhaps we've replaced something in our own homes and we've given that which we don't want anymore to the church, and yet what we've got is bigger and better, and yet we get offended when what we've given to the church isn't wanted or used or seemingly appreciated. It's all about our hearts, isn't it? About what we're giving to God and to one another, to the church, to those who have less than we have. In the second part of the Malachi chapter that we've looked at, we hear God saying, "Why should I be pleased with the sacrifices that are blemished? Where the animal is blind or is lame or is diseased." And it goes on in verses 13 or 14. "When you bring injured, lame or diseased animals and offer them as sacrifices, should I accept them from your hands?" says the Lord. "Cursed is the cheat who has an acceptable male in his flock and vows to give it, but then sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. For I am a great king," says the Lord Almighty, "and my name is to be feared among the nations." And in the book of Malachi, what Malachi is saying to them is that the people of God, God's chosen people, the Israelites, they need to wake up They need to realize that they're being half-hearted. That same sense that you get in the Revelation passage to the church in Sardis and to ourselves today, is that what the message is for us too? That it'll do approach isn't good enough. That's not what God is wanting for us. If we think about God, we realize just how great he is. Why would he only want that'll do? Second best, not all that we can offer to him. God wants our whole lives. He wants our whole worship. He wants our whole focus. Do we need to wake up this evening? And then thirdly, consecration and not observation. I know from myself and from talking to others that one of the things that many of us have struggled with since we've been coming back into the building and restarting services is the fact that we are here and the songs are being played, but we're not able to sing. And I know that's probably why many of you are continuing to worship at home. That's what you've told us in that survey we did a few weeks ago. You want to be able to raise our voices in worship to God. It's how we express ourselves. It's how we use our voice. It's how we enjoy singing alongside one another in our praise to God. And I know that some of you have really struggled with the fact that some of the versions of the songs that we've been using over the last number of months have only had a single voice, not the congregational singing. And I know we've talked about how we're not able to do congregational singing because we don't have access to that, and how we have to follow the guidance and the copyrights of the time. But we like, as we sing, to hear others singing. We like to use our voice in praise and in worship to God. It makes us feel comfortable. It's what we're used to. And I understand that. I love to sing. I understand how we find it harder to do what we are doing now, sitting and listening to the words of the song when we're in the building. And yet, actually, one of the things I have discovered is that by being forced to keep my lips closed, by being forced to keep my voice still, I'm using my mind to think about the words. I still use my hands to express my feeling. In my heart, I can still give my praise and my worship to God. And yes, it's different. And no, I don't always like it. But actually, because I'm being forced to stop and think about what I'm offering to God, what he's saying to me through the words that I'm listening to or that I'm reading as they're being displayed on the screen, I'm getting a deeper understanding, perhaps, of some of those words that I will have just sung and spoken automatically. I'm being forced to think about how I worship God and what all of that really means. As we begin this week of prayer and fasting, of repentance and consecration, let's use it as a time to turn back to God, to allow him to challenge us about the way we're living, about our hearts and our lips, about offering God all of ourselves rather than the bits left over. We've been challenged this week and the days to come to fast. And maybe we've not done that before. And think about how and what we could use and do during those times of fasting. We've been called to come and repent, to give ourselves to God, to wake up and to recognize that it's about consecrating ourselves to God wholly, not just observing and going through the motions week in and week out. We were challenged in that series in Joshua, the end of July and early August, about consecrating ourselves once again. And that's really where that sense of what's going on this week has come from. We need to stop being observers of all that happens week by week as part of the life of RBC. We need to stop going through the motions of praying or reading our Bible, but actually, a bit like Nate, as we heard earlier, realizing that we need to stop and offer our whole selves back to God. And so, as those of you who were listening last night at the launch of the prayer event, I say again, don't go through this week thinking you'll leave it to everybody else to get involved in the prayer life and then the prayer commitments and on all that the focus that we have this week, because we need to do it together. We need to be the Hur and the Aaron alongside Joshua, helping us to lift up our holy arms to God. And so I challenge you, as I challenged us last night, to join in. Maybe you can't manage to do all that is going on, but to join in with some part of the prayer week this week. Maybe you couldn't manage the prayer walk, and of course at the point of this, we're not quite sure how that's going to look with the government making all its decisions. But actually, we can still use the opportunity to think about our area or the area in which you live and pray for those neighbourhoods. Pray for the part of our church life. Pray for what God is wanting to show us in the ways that perhaps in our own lives we need to think about repenting and giving more of ourselves to God. Perhaps we do need to ask for forgiveness, to ask for that fresh anointing from God so that we can once again worship him with our whole selves rather than just our lips, giving him all of our hearts rather than just some of it. And so we have that opportunity to do that as we listen to the words of our next song, a song again that we'll know really well, the words of When the Music Fades. We know that when Matt Redman wrote those words, it was at that time when his minister had realized that they in their church had got so hung up on the way that they worshipped, they forgot who it was that they were worshipping. They were worshipping God. And so as we listen to those words of that song, I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, Jesus. Do we need, during this song, to ask ourselves the question, do we know for ourselves how great God is? Does he have our whole heart? And if not, what are we going to do about it? Maybe use this song as an opportunity to come before God at the start of this week and say, Father, I'm sorry. Father, help me during this week to come to you and to give you all of myself. Use this song and allow God to speak to you through it. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we hear the words of those song again as we're reminded that it is all about you. And Lord, as however we have chosen to respond during that song, however we choose to go through the coming days, however much we choose to engage or not in the week and the activities that are taking place this week, help us to think about our journey with you. Lord, if we do need to wake up, Lord, wake us up. If we do need to move from that position and place of an observer and just watching what goes on here in the life of RBC, help us to move from being an observer to being an active person involved in the life of this church, involved in what it is that you want to do in our lives and in the life of this community. Help us to come back to the heart of worship, we pray. And we offer you our whole selves. Amen. As our service comes to an end, we're going to sing that wonderful hymn, Thine Be the Glory, Risen, Conquering Son. We've used it before. I make no apology for using it again as we listen to the blessing sung to us by the Northumbria community. Stay online and just listen to the words of the grace. As I conclude our service together, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. And in whatever we do this week, know that God wants all of ourselves. Amen.
Once again.